you like film? Do you like comedy? Do you like your childhood memories?
One more take?
Yeah.
Lewis and Pete's bad nostalgia film club. Each episode sees comedian Lewis Charlesworth and Pete Phillipson revisit a classic childhood film through the eyes of an adult to see how messed up it truly is. Be it Back to the Future for its story of incest, Mrs. Doubtfire for its tale of the creepy cross-dressing father babysitter, or Home Alone with its sinister home invasion toddler torturer nightmare. Bad Nostalgia.
The Vintage Series.
Yo.
I took a deep breath just as I said the Vintage Series, then, didn't I? But it was fine. I held off, I refrained, I abstained. But now I'm releasing all of my silky white vocal love juices upon your little delicate ears.
Four series, mate.
Metaphor.
And you finally got it.
Series, and the final episode, and I finally got it. The final episode, episode 6, seven.
Ever thought we'd be here?
Whoever thought? How many episodes have we done? Like 25 or something like that? Yeah. I don't want to do the maths. We know
that's
how long
like a
takes.
Whole day.
A whole day's worth.
Whole you day could, you could be binging on BN.
Literally, you
that's
could.
What people are calling it, by the
24
way.
And by the end of it, you'll be back where you started.
Yeah,
you'll
yeah.
Be, oh, it's 6 a.m. again.
Yeah.
And I feel different.
You could get like a flight to Australia back in the 90s where it took a day to get there.
Exactly. Like, I was going to say that.
Yeah.
Very good. You could do, I don't know what else you could do in 24 hour period. I don't know.
Go to Australia and back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's always about Australia.
Concorde.
24. Concorde.
What happened to Concorde?
Don't know.
Why did it get?
I don't know. Was you it? Could probably walk to Lincoln in 24 hours.
You could, yeah.
I reckon. Yeah. From Sandbach. Right, so
we're not here to discuss logistics.
We're not here to discuss geography. We're here to discuss films, old classic vintage series films, and then show you, highlight to you why they were so fucked up when we watched them when we were little kids, but we weren't aware because we weren't these really kind of experienced, intelligent, beautiful young adult people that we are today in 2016. What have we got this week, Pete?
The hills are alive, mate. That's all I'm saying.
The hills are alive with the effing sound of effing music.
Yes, mate.
How about that?
Yeah.
There's no better way to end the series, I don't think, really. Because
it doesn't get much more epic, does it?
You could not get much more epic in terms of the themes, the amount of the cast,
yeah.
the performances, the running time, fuck me.
Mm.
You just, the iconic level of this film.
Yeah.
It's still in like the top 10 or top 20, adjusted for inflation, box office hits of all time. It's one of those films that people have watched again and again and again.
Yeah.
For generations, everybody's seen this film, apart from me.
But, and me.
And you. So, yeah, perfect. What a way to go out, really.
I know.
The film everyone's seen apart from us.
Yeah.
What is it? It's always on TV.
As I sound your signals, you will step forward and give your names. You, Fräulein, will listen carefully, learn their signals so you can call them when you want them.
The celebrated play that delighted the world. Actually photographed amidst the wondrous beauties of Salzburg, Austria. With the performance of a lifetime by the screen's brightest star, Julie Andrews, in the glorious role of Maria.
How do you solve a problem like Maria? How do you catch a cloud and pin it down?
How do you find a word that means Maria?
A flippity gibbet or will o' the wisp?
A clown.
Maria makes me laugh.
Maria, who entered the strange new world of Captain Von Trapp. and captivated his seven children with a magical spell of song.
Girls in white dresses with blue satin sashes, snowflakes that stay on my nose and eyelashes, silver-white winters that melt into springs. These are a few of my favorite things. When the door by...
Fräulein, did I not tell you that bedtime is strictly to be observed in this house?
Yeah, well, you did, sir.
And do you or do you not have difficulty remembering such simple instructions?
Only during thunderstorms, sir.
Here, two new numbers specially written for the picture by Richard Rodgers, plus Rodgers and Hammerstein's immortal songs.
Doe, a deer, a female deer. Ray, a drop of golden sun. Me, a name I call myself. Far, a long, long way to run.
I am 16, going on 17. I know that I'm naive.
Oh, please, Captain, love them all.
I don't care to hear anything further from you
I
about my children.
I am not finished yet,
Oh,
Captain.
Yes, you are.
You will pack your things this minute and return to the Abbey.
Captain Von Trapp, are you in love with him?
I don't know. Well, the Baroness said I was. She said that he was in love with me, but I didn't want to believe it.
You're far away. Where are you?
In a world that's disappearing, I'm afraid.
Is there any way I can bring you back to the world I'm in?
I love you.
So somewhere in my youth or childhood, I must have done something.
Here is the perfect motion picture that touches every note in the full scale of human emotions.
Beautiful, beautiful. And I was just saying to Pete when the trailer was playing then that even though I didn't have any nostalgia for the film, when I was listening to the songs in the film, I was like, oh my God, I recognise this, and I recognise that, and I recognise that. Just showing you how much it pervades popular culture, even though you haven't seen the film. You can have nostalgia for it without actually having seen it, because it's part of our mainstream culture, isn't it?
Yeah.
Nearly all of the songs, I was like, oh, and it did bring a smile to my face, to be fair.
Yeah, yeah, me too.
I did feel very happy hearing these songs. They were really good songs. I like the cuckoo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I liked that, and the dance routine.
I like. Yeah. We both liked. I hope you listeners liked the dramatic pause there in the actual trailer.
Yeah, what a great way to promote the film. Just dramatic silence for 5 seconds. That'll help sell the film. Just not
because it would have been on the radio, wouldn't it? Just loads of Austrian people banging on the radio. What is this?
Yeah, nice. So, as we all know, this is a very long film. It's the longest film we've ever done. It's it's 3 hours long. 3 hour long kids film. What the fuck? But here we are. We've tackled it. You watched it twice, mate, didn't you?
I did, mate. Yeah.
Do you want to explain why you watched it twice?
Because I don't know if any of our listeners know, but last week we didn't do an episode.
Pete, don't tell them. They didn't notice.
Oh, did they not?
God, Uganda's going to be an uproar.
It already is, mate.
It already is.
And Ghana.
Probably.
I decided to watch it again.
Yeah, great work, mate. Great work.
Yeah, yeah.
You're really pulling out the stops of the final episode. Thank you very much,
Paul. Yeah. Also, I have nothing else to do.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. You're just counting down the seconds until the next episode, aren't you?
Yeah.
That's how much it means to him, and that's how much it should mean to you. Do follow us on Twitter, Facebook, everything, iTunes, Podomatic. Follow us. Tweet us now, @BadNostalgia. Yeah? Yeah? No? Okay. Right, so we're going to do... I'll never have that become a part of the show.
Yeah.
And it still doesn't work. Good. So what we're going to do now is we're going to do... obviously, it's time for the admin. And I'm sorry, Pete, you do always seem to pull the short straw. I did it last week, so you're going to have to do it this
week. You know what? I think the last time we actually said... What we said is there's no point in doing it. But I think we probably need to do it this week for ourselves.
Do you know how we said that? How we were talking about it and we were kind of reflecting on its role within the format of the show?
Yeah.
And it got me thinking after the episode, and I thought, you know what? We were just talking on the airwaves, and it's like, yeah, bants or whatever. But I thought we had a good point, and I thought, we need to give it a rejig. So I've thrown in a spanner in the works, mate.
What?
For you. Because you're going to do the synopsis. And it's going to make it better,
I'm not doing it with my knob out.
You're not going to do it with your knob out.
Right, okay.
It's at least... Oh, you might as well, though, because it's so fucking hot in here. We need to be naked by the end of the show. What I want you to do is, I want you to do the synopsis, but I'm going to do it to some bed music, right? And the bed music is going to be a countdown of 60 seconds. Okay. And that's going to play whilst you do the synopsis. So the challenge
is... In other words, hurry it the fuck along, Pete, because your synopsis is fucking long.
It's going to make
laborious.
It really sparky. It's going to make
so, mate,
it
you don't
dramatic.
Need me to...
It's going to make it tense. It's going to make it sparky.
It's going to move
make
the
it competitive.
Show.
And most importantly, it's going to move the show along. Although, I don't know, we've talked about it for about the last 3 minutes, so all in all, it's
you
probably
are
about sold. The same amount of time. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So this is the little trick for you. If you want to take a few seconds to gather yourself, I'm going to play some countdown timing music for 60 seconds. Hopefully this is going to be a regular part of the show where we can abridge the admin part whilst I get you to tell the synopsis for the 3-hour intricate epic that is The Sound of Music. Are you up for this challenge, Pete?
Yes, mate, I am.
Thank you so much. Brilliant. And you've seen it twice as well, so this extra prepares you.
Yeah.
Extra pressure. Ready when you are, Pete.
Okay.
Let me know.
I'm ready. Go.
Let's do it.
Okay. So
I've not started yet.
Sake.
Sorry. Do it.
Okay, so there's a nun called Maria who loves singing, dancing. She's always off gallivanting around, so really she's not a very good nun. So she gets sent off to this big house where a captain lives, and he's got those kids that misbehave, and they get rid of all the other nannies because they can't handle them. Maria takes the children really take to her, and they absolutely adore her. And the captain sort of falls in love with her a bit, but he's already meant to marry another woman. The other woman realises this, and Maria goes back to the nunnery, but then the nunnery say, oh, you need to go back to him because you truly actually love him. So she goes back to the captain, and they get together, and the other woman fucks off. But when they get together and everything's happy, that's when a Nazi invasion happens. So they try to escape. The Nazis catch them. They say, oh, we're just on our way to sing some songs at a concert. So they sing the songs at the concert. The Nazis are there. And after the concert, they try and escape. The Nazis try and catch them. But they get away and run off into the hills. And hopefully live happily ever after. Even though Hitler probably finds them and kills them.
Oh!
Do you know what? The pressure! The pressure! The pressure of you putting that in place! That's the best one I've ever done!
This is it! I'm so proud of you, mate! I am so fucking proud! He's sweating!
Mate!
The sweat is dripping off his forehead! Oh my god, that was amazing. We need to take you on tour. We need to take you around the world. We just need to book out the Palladium for 1 minute and get you to do that. That was genius. That was the most articulate I've ever heard any person be about The Sound of Music. Pete, that was amazing. I really hope we recorded it.
Oh my god.
Wow. Pete, do you feel like you just had sex?
I feel like you're an amazing boss that has just motivated a team member and got something out. Like, because that is the best I have ever done it. And it's because you put me under that pressure.
Oh, my God. That felt so cathartic even for me.
I was like...
It was to the wire.
It was.
Did it in a minute.
I got everything in, didn't I, as
you
well?
You got everything in. The nuances of the plot. You got subplots in. You got subtext in. You got development. You got exposition. You got the summary, you've got the...
If you are listening to this show for the first time, go back, every other episode, go back and listen to me do the synopsis.
Spend 24 hours listening to every single episode.
No, just the bit where I do the synopsis and listen to what a car crash it usually is. And that, oh mate, that was exhilarating.
Oh, God, it really was. I hope it was for you, Peter.
You're a genius, mate.
Oh, well,
you should be the boss of your workplace, because that is like... That was like high-level management tactics, that was.
You
that was absolutely
game.
Amazing.
You seriously,
well, it's because I didn't
game.
Have a fucking choice. Do you know what I mean?
You were trapped in a small room in a suit where you couldn't move your arms for God's
sake. Do you know what I felt? Do you know what it felt like? Do you know what it felt like? Have you seen The Dark Knight Rises?
Yeah.
You know he has to make that jump, but he's always trying it with the rope.
Yes.
And then when they eventually say, get rid of the rope,
yeah.
And the fear will actually make you, you know, like complete the jump.
I
that's what it was
it.
Like. You took away the rope, which is the amount of time we have in this
the
studio.
Freedom. Yeah. Which was, it was too free, to be honest,
it was too
it?
Free.
The rope was too secure, to be honest, wasn't it? The rope was too long. It
oh,
was
mate,
too wide.
Do you know what? It's probably not even funny for the listeners, but that is one of my favourite moments of Bad Nostalgia.
Me too, mate. Me too. Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
I don't know
should
if we
go home?
Let's go home. Should we go home and listen to the first 10 minutes? That'd be fine, wouldn't it? Oh, God. Borderline self-indulgent now. I don't know.
Oh,
don't know.
My
Do
God.
Tell us. Tweet us. Tweet us. Right, okay. Wow, I don't know how we carry on after that.
Oh,
so,
my God.
Let's come back down to earth. 25 minutes. 25 minutes of the show is gone. We've done nothing.
Oh, mate.
Nothing.
Jesus.
Yet everything. Right, so...
I feel like I've just conquered my greatest fear or something like that. Honestly.
Let's... Now we've done that. That's obviously, that's here to stay, whether you like it or not. Because we liked it.
Definitely.
And I'll do highlights on YouTube of every single one we do of that. We've done one. Get ahead of ourselves. Right, so let's carry on the show, shall we?
Yeah.
It's going to be a really quick fire rest of the show now to make up for all the time we've spent. Right, the deconstruct sound effect. Right, obviously we know what the synopsis is. I'm still out of breath, even though I didn't fucking do it.
Nailed
right,
it.
So here we go. For the synopsis, let's start at the beginning. We like to start right at the beginning. So your opening sequence is her singing on the hills, the iconic moment. The
yes.
hills are alive. I didn't have anything for this sequence because it's the squeakiest clean thing I've ever seen in my life. Not knowing what the film was about, not knowing what the context was.
Yeah.
This, in isolation, without knowing what was going to happen later, made me think, this is so fucking squeaky clean, I'm not going to be able to get my notepad out once. Did you have anything for the opening bit?
Yeah, watching it now with an adult brain, I think that the hills aren't alive, mate. It looks like the loneliest place on earth.
It's true.
And yeah. she's completely and utterly alone, and she's the only person who... There's no one else in the nunnery or anywhere that shares
so
her playfulness
true.
Or anything. So
the
she's
song
always
is
on
like
her
a
own.
Statement of her delusion,
yeah.
isn't it?
The hills
it's like,
aren't,
where's the music?
The hills aren't alive at all.
No.
And what also what I got is... I don't know if it's just because I knew what was coming later on in the film.
Yeah.
But the film feels like... sort of the calm before the storm. I think it makes a good job of a great job of sort of making it feel like something really, really horrific.
The foreshadowing
is
of the Nazi arrival.
Yeah,
yeah.
Something really, really bad's in the post. Something's on the way, and I think that must be intentional because they wanted to show how peaceful life was. You know, in the Austrian.
And in a family
mountains.
Film, you don't want that kind of, that level of foreboding at this point. It's the first frame of the
film.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
You want to feel secure at some point, but there's that unease.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying, brother. And then, obviously, it's compounded in the next bit by all the nuns who sing their nice little opening number about the prime nun in it, the Julie Andrews character.
Yeah.
What do they do? What's the context, the content of the song? They're basically just slagging the shit out of her.
Yeah, yeah.
They're just slagging her off, saying, oh, she's weird, she's quirky, we don't want her here, she's too sexualized, she threats and undermines our way of life because we are all dry vagina women, aren't we? Yes. We are threatened by this pretty Julie Andrews girl. We hate her. We hate her. We want her to leave. That isn't my song is fucked up, by the way, but it's a very inappropriate song, I think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Me too. I just don't understand why they hate her so much.
I know.
Oh, she's always smiling.
Yeah, yeah. No, that is literally one of the lines. She's smiling. Oh, she's so upbeat. She makes a lot of weird jokes. That's better than you girls with your really fucking... just
with your
horrible, miserable, negative song about someone who's a bit upbeat and quirky. Fucking hell. Are you living the life of God? No, you're not. You're living the life of the devil, right? Yeah.
I don't understand why, as well. They say, like, oh, you're always late, You know, you go missing for days, you really are responsible. So then they decide to put her in charge of seven kids. Well, yeah. I don't get that at all.
Neglectful, secondhand neglect that.
Yeah, yeah.
If you don't think she's up to it, don't do it, mate. Just put her in a cage.
Yeah.
Right, and then she does go out there, doesn't she? Like Mary Poppins, Mrs. Doubtfire style, and she looks after the Von Trapp children, okay?
Yeah.
So what did we make of them? I've got a few notes about the Von Trapp children.
They're fucking psychopaths, aren't they, at the start?
The Village of the Damned at the start, aren't they?
Yeah.
I thought that was the route the film was going to go down, like, oh, we are psycho, and we want to kill you. Because there's a nanny never lasts for longer than about 2 weeks, yeah, apparently, in the household. And you can only infer from that the fact that the kids are horrible to them and mean to them.
Yeah.
Horrible things to them, like when I was a kid and had a nanny and put my hand up a skirt, that kind of thing. Why do I keep referencing that? And there's seven of them. Seven of them, right? Let's drill down on this.
Yeah.
Not only is there seven siblings from the same parents,
yeah,
they're all very close in age.
Yeah.
What the fuck does that say? And the mother's dead. What did she die of? Giving birth one after another after another. Her vagina must have been, oh my God, ruined. I don't think she's dead. I think she fucked off to avoid being kept in bed as a baby-making machine. Do you know what I mean? They never explain it, do they? I think she's fucked off.
Maybe she fell into her own vagina.
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe that's what happened.
Oh, God. We're getting disgusting now. And the way they're looked after by the father, Christopher Plummer, brilliant, brilliant actor, who's amazingly still alive. Can you believe that? He was old then, about, yeah, 50 years ago. I don't know how that works.
But
vampire.
It doesn't make any sense, like, how sort of ill-behaved the kids are, because they've got this military father. Like, I don't understand.
Yeah. Who whistles to them like dogs for them to come downstairs in line,
yeah,
and line up there, like, all in line, in formation. Like, I'm not just saying this, but given the context of the film and everything, like, just pre-World War II, he raises them like the Hitler Youth.
Yeah,
I thought that's what this was all about. As soon as I saw that bit with the whistle, they're all straight up in line, they're all terrified of him, they're all really well-behaved, I was like, oh, he's treating them like the Hitler Youth. He's raising them in this really regimented way. And he's, like, Austrian, so he must be a Nazi or whatever. And it turns out he's not. And the ironic thing is, he's raising his kids like the Hitler Youth, and the whole film he spends trying to avoid the Nazis.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, why are you trying to avoid the Nazis when you're raising your kids to be Nazis? What the hell is going on here? And what is going on?
The kids, like, they turn so quickly as well, the characters in this film, because they start off and they don't like her, but then they all decide that they love her really quickly.
Very quickly.
They go from being just absolute little psychopaths to, like, just being, like, really, really, yeah, well-behaved.
And
it just doesn't make any sense,
no,
at all.
No.
There's no, like, subtle arc.
Yeah, there's not. Like, there's just all a massive jump.
It's really weird, yeah.
And it comes off as really, like, cold towards their own mum, who gave birth to seven of them and probably died in childbirth for the,
yeah,
last,
yeah,
one. Because it's like, I'm jumping ahead now, but when she gets married to the father later on, they say, you're my mummy, I want to call you mummy now. And it's like, they've been married for 5 minutes and suddenly they've forgotten their mother who gave birth to seven of them. Like, nice one, kids.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Just ignore that bitch. Yeah, whoever she was. This is your mummy now. The woman who just ran off at one point. And then the guy, the way that the father raises them, he's just so insanely neglectful of them. He's just so sinister. And so it made me think, oh, he's the antagonist of the film, isn't he? He's the evil Nazi father who's got raising his kids to be little Nazis. And in the end, he's going to die and get his comeuppance. And it's like, the longer it goes on, the more I realise that, no, he's actually the hero of the piece who tries to save them. And he's the person we're meant to be rooting for. So why is he so evil for the first half of the,
yeah,
film? He plays it like Hannibal Lecter, doesn't he? Like,
yeah, yeah.
Kiddies, don't speak at the table. Toot sweet. Like, call back. He's like a really evil father. I just don't know why he's like that. And you've got so many moments where he's such a shit to them. Like, he's got that girlfriend at the beginning who's that really hot blonde girl.
Yeah.
And he says to her at one point, oh, you brought some meaning back into my life. I was thinking, charming, right? You've got seven fucking kids, so you didn't have any meaning with seven kids.
Yes.
What the hell?
I don't understand as well why Maria, Julie Andrews' character, like, even falls for him in the first place.
No!
Because he's just the most miserable arsehole.
He's such a miserable twat.
He's not even, like, in a, you know, Darcy and Pride and Prejudice kind of,
no,
way, where
his
charisma's, like, being a bit, you know,
he's a bad boy, but, yeah, he's good underneath.
Yeah, yeah.
Nothing
this
like
guy
that.
Is
Nothing.
Just an absolute. He's just got the personality of, like, just a flannel.
He's a miserable twat.
Yeah,
oh my God. And even on those lighter moments where you think, oh, finally, they've gotten through to him. Like, you know, when they sing that song, and it's like the crying moment.
Yeah.
Where they all the kids sing, and he hears them when he's in the garden. He's like, the children are singing. Like, oh, the moment where they've cracked into his heart, and he's going to be really nice and loving, and he's going to soften, and he walks in really slowly, and he sees his kids, and they all embrace each other. And I presume that's the bit where everyone's supposed to cry.
Yeah.
It's this really beautiful bit when they've just cracked through and broken through the shell of harshness, and he's like embracing them, and it's all really lovely. And then the guy who wants to kind of put them on stage is like, oh, you all sing together now, so shall we, do you want to sing in public, do you want to sing on stage? And then he just slams it down, the father, and he's like, no, we're not singing in public, no mate, leave it out, they're not singing in public.
Like, what's his fucking hell, problem with singing problem? In public,
what is your problem?
Even at the end of the film where like they near where they like they have to sing in public to like you stop getting attacked by the Nazis, he's like, no, we're not singing in public. That'd be us. What is his problem with them singing in public? He's raising them like the Nazi youth.
Yeah.
Why isn't he let them singing in public?
Yeah. What is it to him? What is it, please? And then, have you got? I don't know if you've got anything else, but I'm jumping ahead now. The nun just fucks off, doesn't she? She gets that really great relationship she fostered with the kids. They absolutely love her. And then she just does one because she starts to feel something for the father.
Yeah.
And she just leaves. And his girlfriend obviously encourages her to leave, which is a little bit nasty. And she does one.
Yeah, but I feel sorry for her.
I feel
she
really
hasn't done anything wrong, has she?
She's done nothing wrong.
And this nun just swoops in.
Yeah, and tries to take her man off her.
Yeah.
And up to that point, at the beginning, they're really, really happy and they're engaged and everything.
Yeah.
And without Julie Andrews.
Exactly.
They would have ended up together.
And one of the fucked up things about the film is I would have thought they would have portrayed
totally with
the other woman to be kind of a bit evil and a bit nasty, but she does nothing wrong. She tries to play with the kids after Julie Andrews goes in a really lovely way.
And they don't want any of it. They hate her. They're crying as she's trying to kiss
them
or whatever.
And Julie Andrews, obviously beautiful, but this woman's like sexually attractive, isn't
very beautiful.
She's like she's like beautiful and sexually attractive. Yeah.
But I just want to pick up on the point you were saying. The portrayal of her is so inappropriate for this film because she's portrayed as the main antagonist of the film. It's like we are made to feel like she needs to get out of the picture. She's the evil one. She's taken away Julie Andrews' man when it's actually the other way around.
Exactly.
And this is in a film where you have the Nazis.
Yeah.
And she's portrayed as the bad guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Hang on, we've got Nazis. This woman is relatively not that bad.
Yeah. Of course she told her to go away. If I was engaged to a woman who had 7 kids and I loved her and I was going to get married to her, and then all of a sudden some like monk showed up in the middle of nowhere and was like a real hit with the kids and they all loved him. It was like, oh yeah, he's a monk, he plays the guitar, everything. And then the monk was like, oh yeah, I'm in love with your wife. And I thought my wife, you know, loved him. I'd be like, yeah, fuck off. Fuck off back to the monastery. With your bald patch.
I'm glad you clarified that, because I didn't know where you were going with that. I thought you were going to fall in love with the monk.
No, but, no.
Okay, sorry, I got confused there. I was like, there's no female monks. Oh, are you getting off with a monk? Right, okay, sorry. sorry, I just got confused there, Pete, about your sexuality.
Sorry. 60 seconds, mate. Nailed it. Can we just remember that?
Yeah, okay. Pete's available, he's looking. Uganda, yeah?
If you ever need a synopsis done of a film in 60 seconds,
naked. So I think we've pretty much done the first half of the film.
Can I just ask, what film are you doing? What song are you doing for?
What song am I going to do? I'm going to do 16 going on 17.
Okay, can I just talk then about the song Raindrops and Roses and Whiskers on Kittens?
Please do.
Yeah. What's the actual song called?
I don't know. No idea.
These are a few of my favourite things.
Yeah, something like that. Everyone knows it if you say that.
Yeah, well, I was just watching that and thinking just how bleak was life in the 1930s that those are her favourite things. Raindrops and Roses and Whiskers on Kittens. That's like the equivalent now of saying, like, bags for life and thermal gloves, microwaves and plastic tubs. Like, that is all she's singing about, the most mundane things.
Really,
and those are her favourite things.
Yeah. I don't know, Pete. I really don't know. Right, okay, so we've got the nun. She's fucked off back to the nunnery, and we're going to pick that up in the next section, but let's just listen to a little segue, people. Stay tuned.
Bad nostalgia.
Tune in every Tuesday at 9 p.m. on Fab Radio International.
Here we are, children. Come and get your lollipop.
We'll ruin your childhood.
We certainly will ruin your bloody childhood. I've really been enjoying this series, Pete. I know I always say this, but...
I know, mate.
If I didn't do other things during my days and my evenings, I would happily do this every single day. Within a month, we'd probably exhaust every film everybody's seen. But I would just be started picking apart Tamagotchis, anything, mate. Underpants. I don't know how that works.
They're still a thing, mate.
Oh, yeah. Skid marks.
Yeah.
So we've got the nun. She's back in the nunnery. And I've got a point here, right? She goes back to the nunnery. And obviously, we've already established the fact that the nuns hate her because she's too happy and pretty. And she says to the nun, I've got a problem. I had to leave. I had to come back to the nunnery. And the nun's like, oh, great. She's like, I had to come back here because I was starting to have feelings for the man whose house I was living at. And then she's like, oh. And then the nun clearly has an agenda. And she's like, well, actually, if that's the case, you should go back to the house because that's your true calling. You need to pursue this. Obviously, being a nun isn't for you. And she's clearly just saying, fuck off. We've had enough of you. Just leave. We've had enough.
Even though it's against everything, like, she believes in.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, totally. She's like the head nun and needs to keep this woman pure and keep her in the nunnery. But she's like, no, just go and get some cock, Maria.
Get some
honestly.
Cock.
I don't care. I don't care if I go to hell. I want you out of this fucking nunnery.
Stop. Stop yapping on and put a cock in your mouth.
Stop
and
smiling and telling jokes and disappearing into the Austrian hills. Go and get a nice shag off Mr. Von Trapp. I don't care if I burn in the seven circle of hell. Just go.
Thanks for that, Pete.
That's all right, mate.
It was really dark. He really got into it as well. You couldn't see it, but he's like staring at the wall, transfixed as he was saying that. It was perfect, Pete. Thank you.
No worries, mate.
So it was really, really harsh, non-agenda there. And so then she does go back to the house. And I found this moment like so, so presumptuous by the Julie Andrews non-character.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the way she left the kids and the family, she just left them a note and fucked off. And they had such an attachment to her. They had serious abandonment issues when she left. And then she comes back a month later, is like, hi, I'm back! And she's got all the bags. And all the kids are like, oh, great, but you really hurt us. And she's like really presumptuous, like, I'm back, yeah. The nun says it's okay if I shag your dad now. And yeah, I'm just going to start shagging him. I know he's got a fiance and she's living in it, in the same room as him. But I'm going to come back, even though you hate me, rightly so. I'm going to keep looking after you. I'm going to shag your father, even though he's got another girlfriend. That's why I'm here. She's like, no, Julie, please, no. This is just inappropriate. Inappropriate. And it's like, well, what is this setup now? Julie Andrews has come back because she wants to get her man. Her man is already engaged. So you've got this weird thing where polygamy is totally, like, praised and accepted as a form of living. I mean, if I was in his position, you get some seriously shit-hot threesome going on, but in the same house as his seven kids. It's just like, no, please, this is inappropriate. So, yes, and then we've got the woman, and then she ends up getting out of the picture, obviously, when Christopher Plummer and the Julie Andrews character finally have their moment where they start snogging together. And did you not find this bit a bit out of order, in a way?
Yeah.
Because it's like, up to this point, it's been a very innocent kind of film. It's lots of songs, like, cuckoo, and it's a very family-friendly film. And then suddenly, they crowbar in this romance, and they're snogging each other's faces off.
He didn't even snog his other fiancée.
No, he didn't.
He doesn't even kiss his kids.
There was like nothing goodnight. Like that. Yeah, there was nothing like that. It was just very innocent, lots of singing and stuff like that. Suddenly, there's this big, adult, inappropriate snog fest. It's like seeing your parents get off with each other at a child's birthday party. It's just like, it's left field. We shouldn't be having it.
Do you think there's a bit of a... Do you think it's probably a bit of a... I don't know, it's a bit arousing from him because she's a nun.
It's a sex thing, isn't it?
Do you reckon that's
it? Yeah, it's like a porn site.
Yeah, yeah. Because he's quite repressed, isn't he?
Very repressed.
And then so is Julie Andrews. And so then, when they get together, I mean Maria, not Julie Andrews. I mean the character. So they're both very repressed. So when they get together, it's just like an explosive.
20 times a night, mate.
60 seconds.
Yeah. Right, so I can't
get over it, mate.
60 seconds, yeah. I just realised that I've really, really... Sorry, Pete, I'm really running my mouth off, right? It's because I'm aware of the time, but I realise I need to do The Song Is Fucked Up.
So yes.
It's time, people.
Okay.
That song is fucked up. That song is fucked up. That song is fucked up. That song is fucked up.
Right, so if you know the film The Sound of Music quite well, you might be anticipating this. Pete, I know you were anticipating me doing this song, even though there's lots of songs to do. You knew.
Oh, no, there is a lot of songs, mate, but I still think no contest.
You think it really stands out?
I do, mate, yeah.
I'll tell you guys, it's the song 16 Going on 17. Right, you know where I'm coming from. Just to give you the context, one of the Nazi boys, who we didn't realise is a Nazi until about halfway through, when we're already like him, and then he's like, Heil Hitler! Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
He is shagging one... Well, no, he's seeing one of the Von Trapp kids, the eldest one, who is 16 going on 17.
The eldest, 16.
16, yeah. 16 going on 17. And she secretly meets him outside in a garden, and then to woo her, he sings this song, 16 going on 17. Just let you know, it's a really squeaky clean film for families. Even the title of the film, it isn't even a fucking innuendo. 16 going on 17. I mean, clearly, it's like the age of consent, isn't it? It's basically like the borderline of consent. Basically, the title of the song, 16 going on 17, could easily have been renamed Jailbait. You know, it's just, this is what we're talking about. He's saying, oh, you're nearly of age, so come on, let's have it. Right? So I'm just going to give you a line reading and tell you exactly where I'm coming from with this song, okay? So, here we go. 16 going on 17. Let's begin. A bell is no bell till you ring it. Okay? There's no code. A bell... Bell end is no bell end until you... My cock isn't in use. My bell end's not in use until you ring, yank. It's not code. Okay. Second line. A song is no song till you sing it. Right, okay, again, same idea. Yeah, the song is there on paper, you know, birds and the bees written down, understanding it, doesn't exist until you put it into practice. Let's get jigging, right? Love is in your heart, wasn't put there to stay. Right, okay, he's now undermining the abstract beauty of love by saying, come on, what's love? This wanky shit in the air? No, sex, physical love, right? Love isn't love till you give it away. Give away your virginity. I want to fuck you. Okay? Next bit.
We get it, mate.
Just in case. I don't want anything to get lost. I do not want anything to get lost. Right? A smile's not a smile until you wrinkle your face. All right? Oh, you got a great body. Let's get it wrinkled. Let's get it moving. Let's get some lines going. Let me see your lines, right? Let's get using your stuff. And here we go again. A bell's not a bell without ringing. Okay, yeah, I get it. You want a wank. Right, you want a hand job. All right, I get it. A home's not a home when there's nobody there. This is sick now. A home. Okay, your vagina, your inside, your uterus is not worth anything. It's redundant unless a cock is residing in it, all right? A song's not a song without singing. That again, okay. And then the final bit. Love isn't love till you give it away. Love isn't love till it's free, till it's out there. Get it out there. The love in your heart wasn't put there to stay. Oh, love isn't love till you give it away. Give me your vagina. Let's have physical sex.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Mate. That do you know what? I watched it and I was like, that song is so squeaky clean. I mean, the idea of it is inappropriate, but what you've just done then, there's so much there. Not even in a contrived way at all.
Basically,
it's just...
Basically, it's a Printworks chat-up line.
Mate, it is all there.
Why are you such a baby?
I'm 16. Why such a baby about that?
You wait, little girl, on an empty stage for fate to turn the light on. Your life, little girl, is an empty page that men will want to write on.
To write on.
You are 16, going on 17. Baby, it's time to think. Better beware, be canny and careful. Baby, you're on the brink. You are 16, going on 17, fellows will fall in line. Eager young lads and roués and cads will offer you food and wine. Totally unprepared are you to face a world of men. Timid and shy and scared are you of things beyond your ken. You need someone older and wiser telling you what to do. I am 17, going on 18. I'll take care of you.
And we're back. Please do follow us on Twitter. We're going to be gone for a few months now. Stay in touch with us. Keep tweeting us, follow our Facebook page, Bad Nostalgia, subscribe to us on iTunes, you've got it, everyone's got an iPhone, even if you've not got an iPhone, you've got one of those other silly pretend iPhones, look in your podcast bit, search for it, Bad Nostalgia, be with us, stay with us, 24 hours of backlog of stuff, man. Right, okay, so let's move things along, Pete. So yeah. Where are we? We're getting to the point now where the Nazis are moving in.
Yeah.
We've just had like a fake ending where they get married. And yeah. Like, oh, it's ended, but why the fuck is there 45 minutes left?
Yeah, yeah.
That's because the Nazis moved in. It was a fake ending, like you get in a horror film.
Yeah,
now
yeah.
The Nazis are here, and now we have to take on the Nazis.
Yeah.
Terrifying.
The end of the film just doesn't really fit with the rest of its sort of squeaky clean aesthetic, does it?
What, the actual end of the film?
Yeah, well, no, just like the third act, really.
Yeah, yeah. No,
like
it doesn't. It's like the
Nazi invasion.
It's like Indiana Jones or something.
Yeah, I know. It's like an Anne Frank memoir or something
it
like
is.
That.
It turns into it's a bit so of an action grim. Film, doesn't it?
Yeah, no. As well, we were playing that song there. I loved it as well, how when we see the guy later and we realise that he's actually a member of the Nazi youth, like the guy who was singing. And you notice the 16-year-old who he was singing to, have you seen how into him she is?
Really?
When she realises he's a member of the Nazi youth.
Yeah.
It's so bad. It's
all
like,
the way through.
Oh, he's a bad boy.
Even better.
Yeah.
This is much better than a motorcycle. He wants to kill my dad.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, love, there's a line. There's a bad boy line.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I love... to take it back to the father as well, that was a really good point. Take it back to the father, though. I remember the bit where he gets a letter from the Nazi party that basically says, join us in the Nazi party, be a member of the Nazi party, be a colonel in the army, or die, effectively. The letter says that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I love his reaction to it, because it's still, like, so in tune with him being a complete twat of a dad. Because rather than him saying, oh, I'll join them, or, you know, I'll take them on, or something like that, what does he do? Like, he just says... Ah, well, in that case, it leaves me no choice but to go on the run with my 7 children. Cheers, May. Hardly inconspicuous with you, a nun, and 7 children. Yeah, just go on the run, mate.
He says it in such a flippant way, though, as well, doesn't he? It reminds me of, like, you know, some right-wing working-class dad just getting, like, a leaflet through saying vote for Jeremy Corbyn and him going, like, no, fuck it, I'm off. I'm moving to France. Yeah. I'm not going back to bloody unions.
Get your swastika.
Power cuts.
Yeah.
Sob that.
And then they end up weirdly, and then it turns into some really sinister little Miss Sunshine ending.
Yeah.
Where they join a singing competition to avoid the Nazis. Like, the singing competition is the way that they overcome everything in the way that Little Miss Sunshine does, but with this sinister undertone of, like, you need to sing for your lives. And it's like, they end up going to the singing competition, but they weren't originally on the bill. They just do it as an excuse to get away from the Nazis, don't they?
Hang on, is that the actual arc? Like the arc of the film? Like, oh, he eventually lets his kids sing in public.
I think it is, yeah.
Well, of course he does, because their lives are in danger.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
It's not like he's overcome something for himself. It's not like he's just done it because he thinks, oh, yeah, maybe it might be good for him to do a bit of live performance. Yeah,
He does it literally because a gun is pointed to his head.
And that's what it took.
Yeah, that's what it took.
I've only just realised that.
And how did they get on the stage? Because they weren't in the original lineup, because he wouldn't let them be in. So they turned up on spec, saying, right, we need to be on the stage, we need to be in the lineup. You know when you do a gig, and like last minute you'll turn up, be like, can you just put me on, can you put me on? Most of the time, if it's any kind of gig of any stature, they'll say, fuck off. And this is a massive auditorium. So what have they done to get on? Have they said to the guy who organised it just before, mate, you need to let us on, otherwise we're all going to be brutally massacred. It's like, it's so dark.
And he's like, mate, come on, it's the Nazis, everyone's getting massacred. Sure, get to the back of the queue.
And then it works. They have the little song, and it's all nice and all that kind of stuff. Even though they have this really, they sing "So Long Farewell," which is a bit tasteless considering they might be shot.
Yeah,
that's the song they decide to sing
along
on
with
stage.
6 million other people.
6 million yeah. other people. And then they do somehow escape. And the actual ending, is I don't find take comfort from it at all. Because all they do is escape the Nazis. We find the Nazis are in their house. They've taken that over, and they did in the real life, which is based on a true story. And they just go to the hills. So, we come full circle. The hills are alive with the sound of music. Yeah, they're certainly alive because there's people there. Not with the sound of music, with the sound of fucking fear. And
the sound of fugitives.
The sound of fugitives. And they're just walking, and then it ends. And it's kind of like, oh, yeah, sweet, the song. We've come full circle. But if you think about it, they're just wandering aimlessly in the hills. Yeah. Luftwaffe.
Where are they going to go?
Luftwaffe is going to pick them up on its radar in 10 minutes.
It's not like they're at the border. It's not like there's Nazis on the border that are going to go, oh, where you come from?
Yeah.
Oh, just to sing. All right, yeah, come through.
And this is my final point, and it segues into trivia quite nicely. But apparently, that hill, if you get over that hill, it leads into Germany. It's right on the border.
Yeah,
apparently
yeah.
The other side of that hill was one of Hitler's country houses.
Seriously.
So how about that for your Sound of Music? Right. There you go. So, any more final points before I wrap things up, baby?
No, just that ending. Just absolutely ridiculous. I mean, why can't they have ended it with, like, the Nazis losing the war?
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Bedknobs and broomsticks.
They've got the whole war to go.
Yeah. It has to end at the height of the war, when the Nazis were really doing well.
Yeah, yeah.
Anschluss.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the takeover of Austria. Just to explain that.
Lewis has been to uni and had a few discussions with people
Wikipedia.
Who were studying history and politics.
Wikipedia, I studied writing and performance. I'm a fucking bum. Right, so we're going to do a final segue, and then we're going to have our film trivia time, people. I've really enjoyed this episode. I think it's been one of our best. What a way to go out, but we haven't gone yet. Don't cry. Not yet. I'm the only one who's crying. See you soon, people.
Very well. I'll bide my time. And as for you, my fine lady, it's true, I can't attend you here and now as I'd like, but just try to stay out of my way. Just try.
Tune in every Tuesday at 9 p.m. on Fab Radio International.
I'll get you, my pretty, and your little dog, too.
We'll ruin your childhood.
Certainly will ruin your effing childhood. Right, so we've done this, the final film we've covered entirely, torn it up, all our listeners out there. We've got Gav, we've got Dan, we've got the French, we've got the Belgians, we've had people in Ghana, we've had Nathan Uriash, that's a mate I work with currently, who he listened to 2 episodes in a row when he was hungover the other day.
Really?
Yeah, it's very good hangover material.
Brilliant.
That never occurred to me.
Yeah, yeah.
But it is, you know, if you like, because he was coming back from a stag do and he was on a train.
Yeah.
He had a few hours to kill. This is the perfect thing to listen to.
Yes, mate.
I'm going to do it myself.
Yeah.
I listen to the show all the time anyway. God, I'm such an idiot. Right, so, we're going to have a bit of film trivia, people. It's that time you really love. Yeah, let's do it.
Film trivia time.
Right, Pete, I would love it if you could kick us off with a bit of film trivia. What have you got to bring to a da table?
Okay, Charmaine Carr, who played the eldest daughter, the 16-year-old, mm-hmm. Liesl.
Great eyes.
Liesl. Yeah. She was 21 at the time of filming, and she wrote in her autobiography that...
Which made you feel much more comfortable about finding her attractive.
Which is attracted to the... I have no idea what you're talking about. She was attracted to the 35-year-old Christopher Plummer, who played her father. Yeah, she was attracted to him. And Plummer admitted that the feeling was mutual.
You are joking.
But he said he insisted that it didn't get beyond mere flirtation. But that's just fucked up because, you know, she was... he was 14 years older. And also, she was playing his daughter...
Oh.
He was whistling at her. He was playing
and
know,
if that's the trivia, behind the scenes back then, stuff must have happened.
And also, I'm jumping ahead here, but if you read into the trivia of The Sound of Music, he was just, like, absolutely, like, a raging alcoholic on set
Massive
as well.
Massive alcoholic.
Yeah.
He was just drunk the whole time, wasn't he?
Yeah,
I got that one as well.
Yeah.
I think it was just a thing in those days. Like, if you were a great actor, you just... He just got pissed all the time.
Yeah.
I just think the lifestyle was lent itself to it. Yeah, great one, Pete. I never saw that one.
Yeah.
I saw another thing tied to her, actually. And in the 16 going on 17 song, apparently she really injured herself during the rehearsal for that. So she was bloody and she had loads of cuts and bruises on her leg. So they just had to bandage up her leg while she was having this really creepy guy sing about having underage sex with her, basically, just to make that song even more inappropriate. They also, they did actually film, obviously you can't get away from it, they clearly filmed in Austria where the film was set,
yeah.
Where all of this stuff historically happened, they were filming around there.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was pretty sensitive stuff, considering it was only 25 years prior to when they made the film,
yeah.
That it actually happened there. So it was quite insensitive that they had, you know, all across the house they've got all these Nazi flags and they've got all these men dressed up as stormtroopers. You know, they probably weren't costumes. They're probably the actual stormtrooper outfits. And the people were still living there. So it's just like your recent nightmare is just coming back to haunt you. It's just like really inappropriate. They should have built sets. It's just like they would have had, they probably would have been quite old by then. These people just kind of trying to move on, get on with their lives. And they've got Christopher Plummer and all these other people goose-stepping around the place. Yeah.
It's like, were they making a documentary to show how horrible they were? No, it's a musical.
Kids, come yeah. Watch it with your family.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. And have you got another one?
Christopher Plummer, he intensely disliked working on the film. He referred to The Sound of Music as... he referred to it as S&M. That's what he called it instead of Sound of Music. Yeah, S&M. He likened working with Julie Andrews to being hit over the head with a big Valentine's Day card every day.
I saw that. That is such an interesting expression.
Yeah.
Because she's so upbeat and lovely and cute. But we love her for that, don't we?
Yeah.
He was a miserable twat, wasn't he?
He can even turn Julie Andrews into, you know...
his arch enemy.
Yeah, exactly.
No wonder he's decided to play the character like Hannibal Lecter, even though it was completely inappropriate.
Because
he's just
yeah.
channeling his own feelings about the bloody film.
Yeah, yeah.
S&M.
And the crush on his daughter.
Toot sweet. I've got one final point here. This is a really interesting one. It's about South Korea. Have you got this one?
No,
have
I haven't.
Seen it? Oh, good, good. Right, well, South Korea, they loved this film so, so much when it was first released, and many, many years after it, that it was played so much at the cinema, and it was to packed houses, that to maximise the profits off the back of the film, they made massive cuts to make it shorter so they could fit more screenings in to get more take-ins. And do you know what they cut?
What?
All of the squeaky clean songs. Could you imagine this film without the songs?
What? That's not...
a miserable, fucking, sinister Nazi slogfest.
That's really boring. Why would anyone
really
go watch that film?
Yeah. Without the cuckoo, it's just Christopher Plummer being pissed and miserable.
Yeah.
So there you go. Have you got anything else to round off the trivia?
I think you sort of touched on this earlier. After the Von Trapp, after they fled Austria, this is in real life, their home was taken over by Heinrich Himmler, one of the key players in the Nazi Party, and Adolf Hitler used to go visit him.
Because all of it was, like, totally true.
Yeah. It's awful, isn't it?
Really sinister.
Yeah.
But, yeah, great material to make a family film out of.
Yeah.
Perfect. Right, okay, so we're going to have a final segue of the final episode of this series, which will not be our final series. We're going to have a nice little segue, and then we'll speak to you soon for the final roundup of the entire series. Stay tuned, people. Do tweet us.
I want some more.
What?
Please, sir. I want some more.
More? And then me and Jemima, we just went to the park and then we ran out of porridge and then we were just like, well, is there just not any more? Okay, so we're going to do... What are the scores for The Sound of Music, Pete?
Okay.
So, let's do it. Violence.
I'm going to give it a 3.
I'm going to give it a 3 because you don't see any people die, but the threat of violence
and the
is
guns
very real.
At the end,
and there's
yeah.
guns and there's Nazis. So, horror.
Horror. Got to give it a 4.
Yeah, definite 4 because it's just there. It's just The songs give a little bit of a lighter tone, but there is a lot of horror in this film.
Yeah.
Sex?
Two.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a two as well. Oh, God, we're identical so far. What else? What's the other category? I've completely forgotten.
Morality.
Morals, morality, yeah. Morality, I'm going to give it a four.
I'm going to give it a three.
Okay, and is there any racial bonus points? I don't really see anything in terms of rage. There's Nazis, but... Yeah, okay. I'm going to give it a two for that. Right.
Just a two. That's all the Nazis deserve. Just a two.
So, what are you going to give it for racial?
I'd a two.
Two? Okay,
I'm
so
just going to give it a two. Seven. No, I'm going to give it a three.
Good. Let's be slightly different.
Okay.
So, seven, nine, 13, 15. Great. 15. And what have you got it?
I have got...
Are you identical?
I'm 15, yeah, 15, as well.
So, 30. A respectable 30. Is it going to be the best of the series or is it going to be the least? We just don't know. We don't know until now where we do our end of series roundup.
Final position at number six, we have Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Next up at number five, we have Mary Poppins with 26 points. Next up, we have The Sound of Music. And in joint second place, we have Willy Wonka tied with Bedknobs and Broomsticks. Yep, you got it. So the most fucked up film of the vintage series is Oliver Twist.
Well, I think it was a... I think it was a real worthy winner, Pete, don't you?
I do, mate, yeah.
I mean,
the horror of that film.
The horror, the brutality,
grim.
The misogyny, the misery, the fighting, the wife beating, the child neglect, the orphanage misery, just everything. It was just a horror show. Horror show.
Yeah.
So I've really enjoyed this series, Pete. Have you?
It's been great, mate. I'm just gutted it's over.
I know. What are you going to do with your week next week?
I don't know. Right when I've nailed the synopsis as well.
Well, that's going to be a permanent fixture next series. You can bet your bottom dollar.
Can I do that every show?
No, I want to do it.
All right, okay.
Maybe we could do one each. I don't know. Maybe that's a bit too much. We'll have a think about it. We'll have a brainstorm meeting and we'll take a picture of ourselves and we'll post it to the Facebook
group.
We'll
find out what we're actually going to do for the next show.
Yeah. Ooh, any suggestions? Get in touch. Tweet us. Might as well try. Right, so keep listening. Go through our back catalogue. I've really been enjoying you listening to us live or the back catalogue, whatever. Keep getting involved. Just get in touch. Give us the love so we can keep on going. And see you soon, people. I've been Lewis Charlesworth.
I've been Pete Phillipson.
God bless you, people.